everybody. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. And for the first time in a few weeks, Cardiff is back.
Hello.
It's us again.
Yep, that's right. We're back, but unfortunately...
More specifically, you are back from vacation.
Yeah, and I have no idea what's been going on. I've been in the bush for a couple of weeks.
You look very happy and well-rested.
By in the bush, I mean I've been sitting by the pool.
I do not look happy or well-rested, but that's fine.
You look terrific.
It's very nice to have you back, Cardiff.
And what we're going to do today is answer some listener questions, just to gently ease our way back into the routine.
We don't want to throw Cardiff into the deep end right now.
Exactly. We like to do this every once in a while. Listeners send us some great questions, and we try to answer them.
So today on the show, two listener questions. First, why does the economy need people to buy so much stuff for it to be healthy? Second, what are some of the good ways to teach high school students about economics? And of course, you know, the basics of economics, they're not just for high school students.
No, they're for everyone, really.
They're for the high school student in all of us.
Oh.
I know. That went to a dark place.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Cleveland Clinic, who knows that modern medicine is making it possible for our bodies to outlive our brains. See how Cleveland Clinic is leading research efforts to help keep your mind at clevelandclinic.org/care. Support also comes from Wix.com. With Wix, you can create your very own professional website. Choose a template you love and customize it with your own text, images, and videos. Go to Wix.com. That's Wix.com/indicator to get 10% off.
Our first question comes from Amy Tisdale in Colorado.
You often say on the podcast that the U.S. economy is driven by consumer spending. How do we get to a point where we all have to buy a lot of crap to have a healthy economy? Is there any hope of ever being able to break out of this cycle, or are we just doomed?
I love this assessment of our economy.
Yeah, Amy, thanks for that question. We always appreciate any chance to include the phrase buy a lot of crap on the show.
We a lot of crap. Yeah. In the U.S. buys the most crap of anyone in the world. The whole world kind of runs on us buying crap.
Yeah,
it's
true. And the answer to Amy's question is surprisingly complicated. But in our response on this episode, we are going to try to take a more explanatory and a less judgy, you might say, approach to consumption.
Sure, buy a lot of stuff.
Yep. More explanatory, less judgy should be the show's new tagline. It's what we do on The Indicator.
Sometimes we're judgy. You're judgy
sometimes. Withdrawn. That's not true at all.
I'm never judgy. So let's just start with, some basics. When you make money from your job, you only have two choices for what to do with that money. Just two. You can spend it, that is consumption, buying a lot of crap, or you can save it. And in a healthy economy, both consumption and saving are important, but they're important for different reasons. So let's look at spending first. When you choose to spend money, you're not just getting a product that you want or that you need. You're also providing the business that made the product with a reason to exist. The all-important raison d'etre for businesses. It's true, though. And that also gives the business a reason to employ workers. I mean, if you think about it, if people suddenly stopped buying cars, there would be no need for auto engineers or auto factory workers or auto mechanics or gas stations or all kinds of businesses.
Yeah, so far, so obvious.
People that make the fuzzy dice, totally out of business.
Exactly. So far, so obvious. Without at least some consumption, there would be no businesses. In fact, there'd be no economy at all.
Crickets.
But too much consumption, too much spending is also a problem. Because if people are spending too much of the money they make, or if they're borrowing money even to buy things they can't really afford, then it makes the economy more vulnerable to a really bad recession.
And the reason for that is simple. So let's say you owe a lot of money because you took out, a car loan or a really big mortgage, and you just don't have that much money saved. Then you're going to be afraid to spend any more money if the economy starts looking shaky, because you'll be worried about not being able to pay off your debts if you lose your job. Or you'll be worried that you won't have enough money saved to get you through the hard times. And the risk is that if too many people have big debts to pay, then at some point, everyone will stop spending money at the same time. And if that happens, then businesses will not be able to sell the stuff they make. They'll start laying off workers, and then even more people will suddenly stop spending. And the economic downturn will get worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, vicious cycle. So, yeah, you want people to save money when the economy is doing well. Savings help support the economy when the bad times arrive. But that's only one of the benefits of people saving money. Saving money is also what lets people build enough wealth for retirement. Plus, the money that people save is actually necessary to fund some parts of the American economy. Consider it this way. When you save money, you probably don't stick that money in a mattress. You might invest it in the stock market through your 401k, which can then give companies a way to expand their operations. Or maybe you'll buy treasury bonds, which fund the American government when it needs to borrow money. Or maybe you'll just put the money into a bank, and that makes it easier for the bank to loan out money to companies that need to borrow it. So, to sum things up, it's a balance. For a healthy economy, you need plenty of consumption because it keeps businesses going and it gives people opportunities to work at those businesses. And you also need people to save money because that makes the economy healthy for the longer term.
So where are we right now? Does the U.S. economy have the right balance between consumption and saving? Are people spending too much money, or do they have enough saved to support the economy if it starts to slow down? Sadly, there is no one perfect indicator that can answer this question, but here is what we do know. U.S. households do seem to be in much better shape than they were just before the last big recession, the one that ended 10 years ago. The overall personal savings rate in the U.S., that is how much people have saved of their income after taxes, is now twice as high as it was back then.
Yeah, plus the debt of U.S. households as a share of the overall economy has continued to fall throughout this recovery. And these are generally good signs. They suggest, cross your fingers here, knock on wood, that if the economy goes into recession soon, that recession won't be as horribly severe as the last one, or at least that households won't suffer quite as much.
Thanks for your question, Amy. And our next question comes from Christopher Aceto, and he writes in and asks this. He says, I am teaching a high school economics course next fall for the first time. That's so cool. And I was wondering if you have any advice or suggestions. Are there sites, organizations, or books that you would recommend that are geared for teenagers?
Thanks, Christopher. And a quick caveat, by the way, that Stacey and I are not professional educators, so...
Unprofessional educators.
Totally unprofessional. Non-professional.
Non-professional.
Anyways, an amateur response, if you will. But we'll start with a couple of free options. First, the New York Fed has resources that were made for both middle school and high school educators. They even include a series of comic books, including one called Once Upon a Dime.
It's very cute.
It is cute.
It's really cute.
Plus, it has lesson plans, and I'll be honest, haven't checked those out, but that might be one place to start.
It's the New York Fed, so you know it's fun.
Exactly. Wait, what?
The other free option is something called the Core Econ Textbook. It is entirely online, and it's an attempt to teach introductory economics with a bigger emphasis on what's happening in the real world rather than all the abstract theories and equations and things like that. And it also has workshops and resources for educators as well. And we will link to those resources at npr.org/money if you want to see more.
And finally, there are podcasts, which for obvious reasons, we think are great for students.
There's one brilliant one called The Indicator.
Yeah.
We highly recommend you subscribe.
Time to goose those downloads. And if you already found us, then hopefully you also already know about our wonderful sibling podcast, Planet Money. But just this once, we're also going to shout out some competitors that you might like.
They're so generous.
Yeah. The gang at Marketplace does a daily half-hour show that's great and easy to understand. Plus, there's the longer Freakonomics radio podcast, which comes out every couple of weeks. And finally, a friend of the show, Tim Harford, he has a podcast for the BBC. It's called 50 Things That Made the Modern Economy, and it's now in its second season. So check all of those out, but only after you download and listen twice. To the indicator.
Yeah, you should probably at least twice.
This podcast was produced by Darius Rafieyan, edited by Patty Hirsch, and fact-checked by Emily Lang. The Indicator is a production of NPR. When the economy is doing well. What was that? So yeah, you want people to save money.
Who's your inner high school student?
That was my inner prepubescent Cardiff coming out, yeah.